Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to today's episode of Financial Lifeguard on Duty. I'm your host and financial lifeguard, Christine Lucan. I help people who feel like they're drowning financially get to a safe place and catch their breath. Then I teach them how to swim. Even if you're an experienced swimmer, it's still good to have a financial lifeguard on duty just in case the water gets rough. Today's episode is Get Financially Naked Before You Get Married. I'll discuss why it's important to bear your financial details to your significant other, warts and all, before you walk down the aisle. Even when you first start dating someone, be watching and listening for their beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors surrounding money. As you become more serious with your significant other, so should your money conversations. You know, I'm really amazed at how many couples have no qualms about getting physically naked with each other before getting married, but they keep their financial details tightly under wraps. With money issues being cited as the first or contributing, one of the contributing causes of over 70% of divorces, this is a conversation that has to take place as you start to get serious with someone. And I don't want you to wait until you're engaged or moving in together to start having money conversations with your significant other. Now, when you first start dating someone, it is probably premature to have serious money discussions when you're first starting out. However, just by observing and listening to the person that you're dating, you are going to get some clue on how they handle money and what their beliefs are about money. So, do they allude to the fact that they have a lot of bills, credit card debt, or big student loan payments? Or maybe just the opposite. They allude to the fact that they're maxing out their 401k or that they have plenty of money in savings. Do they always insist on paying for you when you go out on dates? Or do they always insist on you paying? Or are they more of an even Steven when it comes to that kind of thing? These sorts of things are going to give you some clue about how they handle money and how they believe that as a couple you should handle money should you ever commit yourselves to each other. So do they admire financially successful individuals, or do they refer to them as greedy rich people? A lot of times what happens is, first of all, we're on autopilot, many of us, with how we're handling money. We just handle it the way we've always handled it, the way we saw our parents handle money. A lot of times we absorb and take on the beliefs of those people around us. Also, sometimes if a person has been in a negative relationship, whether they were just dating somebody seriously or engaged or married and then divorced, and there were money conflicts in that previous relationship, they can be carrying that baggage into the next relationship because they don't want to get hurt. And, you know, if you don't sit down and talk to somebody about that, that can crop up and be a problem in future relationships. So when you get more serious with someone, that's the time to start having more in-depth conversations as money topics come up. Now, you don't have to set up a formal meeting and say, now we're going to have a serious talk about money, and we're going to rehash all our beliefs and our baggage and all of our childhood memories. You know, just as things come up in normal conversations, you can just say, well, how do you feel about that? Or, you know, if we were to ever get married, how would you see us handling this? And that can open up some pretty interesting conversations. And remember that just because someone thinks differently or does something a little differently with their money than you do it doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong. However, this is the time where you may see some red flags coming up, and those are some things that you need to be aware of. You know, in my previous relationship, when I was engaged to the guy who was not financially responsible, when we were at family gatherings, I would overhear his family saying things like, you know, rich people are, you know, they got that way by taking advantage of other people. And I even saw them say things to my now ex-fiancé as he would get promoted or he got a company car. They would say things like, oh, so now you think you're better than us. And inevitably, he would self-sabotage and lose that job or quit that job because that underlying need for acceptance and approval for his family overrode that, you know, desire to do better and, you know, advance himself financially. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, a lot of times the way we are raised and what our parents taught us or didn't teach us about money can affect our current behavior. And if you're going to be getting married to someone, those are conversations that you need to dig into. And another problem that I've seen with couples is where one person got hurt very badly by an ex-spouse, ex-fiancé, ex-boyfriend, or girlfriend, and they are basically punishing their current partner for the sins of the previous one. You know, they're not trusting, you know, the new person with things where that person has not given them any indication that they're not trustworthy, but because they were hurt before, they're unwilling to trust the new person. And so those are some times where either financial counseling or just, you know, general counseling on the relationship side may be needed. Now, once you are officially engaged, I highly recommend that you take a premarital financial class together. If your church doesn't have something like that, then I would highly recommend Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, because it's a great 9-week class that's going to spur a lot of good conversations between the two of you regarding personal finance. And it may also be helpful to have a one-on-one coaching session with a financial counselor like myself to help you navigate the combination of your finances. I do this quite a lot with people, and you know, you don't have to be in financial distress to come and see a financial coach. I frequently have couples who are getting married, it might be their first marriage or it might be one or both of them, and they want an objective third party to help them talk through how to combine their finances. And that's an important thing to be talking about and hash those issues out before you get married. I also highly recommend that both of you go online and do Laura Frederick's Your Money Wellness Program, because this program dives deep into not just, it's really not about the practical money management like I teach, but it dives into the emotional and psychological factors that affect how we handle money. Now, this program is only found in your wellness room, and you can access that by going to christinelucan.yourwellnessroom.com to start your 7-day free trial membership. There's a ton of other wellness programs in there, but today I'm just focusing on Laura Frederick's Your Money Wellness, because it is a great program, and if you listen to this together with your spouse or soon-to-be spouse, this is really going to get you guys talking about some good stuff about your financial future. And there's a lot of value in it. So please go and check that out. Now, So before you get married, that's the time to get completely financially naked with your significant other. No hidden purchases, no hidden debt, no secret savings accounts. Talk about how you're going to handle the day-to-day financial transactions in your household once you get married. You know, who's going to be responsible for making bill payments, for buying groceries, for purchasing items for the house? Is all of your money going to be in one joint account, or will you keep some of your money separate? Now, I know there's some financial gurus that say that you should keep all of your money in one joint account and you shouldn't have any money separate. And I disagree with that. I think there are times where it makes sense to have some of your money separate. Now, not because you're keeping it a secret from each other. Typically, when I suggest this, it's because, you know, that there are differences in how each of them want to spend their fund money and their discretionary money. And so sometimes it makes sense to have, you know, one joint account where all the bills are paid out of, and then for each of you to have a checking account where you know, that's your fund money, that's your spending money, and, you know, the other person could access it if, you know, something were to happen to one or the other of you, but it's primarily your account, and, you know, you can do with that portion of the money what you want to do. So sometimes I find that that actually can mitigate the amount of arguments over the discretionary spending. And that's what my husband and I do. So, you know, if he wants to go out and, you know, buy a new laptop or a tablet and spend several hundred dollars, then, you know, I don't get mad about that. And on the same side, if, you know, I go buy some clothes or take a painting class, that he's not questioning what I spent the money on. So it's just a matter of, okay, here's your discretionary spending. You have this amount, and whatever you do with that is your choice. And so sometimes having some money separate is an okay thing and actually a good thing. However, like I said, make sure that you do set up the accounts in such a way that if one of you were disabled or deceased, that the other person could easily access that money. So if you have these conversations before you get married and you work out the issues, you're much more likely to have a strong, loving marriage that lasts. However, you may discover that there's issues that are deal breakers. Yeah. But it's better that you find this out now before the wedding. You know, I have had friends who have gotten married thinking that things would get better financially, and they didn't. And sometimes, you know, a year, two, 3 years, you know, of a lot of distress and fighting, and they're divorced, and then they're way worse off financially than if they hadn't gotten married in the first place. So don't be afraid to get financially naked with your soon-to-be spouse. Now, for those listeners in the greater Cincinnati area, my Budgeting Basics class will be held on June 23rd at 6:30 p.m., This class is fabulous for engaged couples and newlyweds to help them chart their preferred financial future. However, the Budgeting Basics class is great for anyone who wants to get their finances under control. You can register to attend the class on my website, christinelukin.com, and click on the Events tab. Thank you for listening to this episode of Financial Lifeguard on Duty. I look forward to talking with you next time. Until then, have a great week.